Ajahn Chah, the Thai Ajahns, emphasize this quality of sitting practice. Mm-hmm. And Ajahn Chah is showing that as the way to solve the dilemma of desire being both the root of all suffering and a necessary ingredient in being able to practice at all. And so he's basically saying that by just sort of making practice non-optional, like not something that's driven by desire, it's driven simply by routine or something. Right? Like this driving force is coming out of this commitment to be consistent, be steady, mm-hmm. whether we're lazy or whether full of zeal. Mm-hmm. And I guess I have this sort of question I'm working with. It seems like the main obstacle to achieving something like steady practice is the variability of that part of my awareness that is supervising what's going on. Mm-hmm. We call it the one who knows, right?
Okay.
When I'm sitting, sometimes it comes up and sometimes it doesn't. When it does, then the sitting starts to kind of congeal, kind of starts to do what I wanted to sit, like going off track, I can put myself back on track again. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have that much sort of self-awareness kind of going in the first place, I can just sit there and get lost all over the place. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with walking practice, which are just the two formal practices. And then when it comes to in-between times, in general, it's even less likely. It's more likely that I'll be submerged under some distraction or some conversation or some other interaction. So besides just sort of knowing that this is the case and trying to strengthen that faculty mm-hmm. of self-supervision, in mostly that I do that informal practice, is there anything else that Ajahn Chah or others have talked about that would be particularly helpful for bringing that into sort of getting away from it is it gets submerged by content and maintaining the quality of self-supervision?
Yeah, well, certainly what I found and still find useful is that mindfulness of the body, where that and not mindfulness of the body in terms of a focus, of in terms of a concentration, but mindfulness of the body in the sense of a feeling sense of the anchor of okay, this is where the anchor of awareness is. And so that coming back into the body, inhabiting the body, and then paying attention to because the body is like a mirror for the different moods and state of the mind as we're experiencing things. And I find what it does is give a sense of, okay, am I feeling irritated or anxious, or am I feeling pulled in terms of a desire, and feeling it in the body, so that there's a resonance or a tone that's the body is giving me feedback back to what the mental state is. So then that helps to get this continuity and preserving that anchor of stability and clarity, so that there's an ease and a presence that is able to move within the transitions of meditation and engagement, or within the engagement itself, that there's not a not being pulled out, not being shaken, so that coming back into the body and using the I mean, I've used the breath for so long that I'm, and also the kind of anchor of breathing and feeling from this area, so that's usually where I'm functioning from.
So, what would that mean, Thai term that I hear?
Yeah, although I haven't heard it before.
Yeah, sometimes like jit
gokai,
so the body comes in at the heart.
Yeah, it's like the idiom that she's using is sort of the mind sort of latches onto the body. So that's sort of like that. The mind depending on the body. So that's a good. It's like a good anchor.
Just to maybe amplify the state from a slightly different direction, the same question. Like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the first Satipatthana is mindfulness of the body. One of the examples given for like non-formal sitting practices, that he's aware when extending his arm and reaching and looking back and coming and going. So that implies this kind of overall bodily awareness that's monitoring all these bodily activities. And that's truly what I try to do when my mind is being supervised. So that's the thing.
That's where the steady practice comes from, having seen the results of when you... And that's where the practice is really a cumulative thing that is not just a onward and upward graph going up, but it's just, you know, these going really, you know, weathering the ups and downs of practice and the delusions and fantasies and difficulties, and in, you know, over time it's just this it's like the Ajahn Sujito he's always got an apt image. It's just like a meat ten, you know, putting meat through a tenderizer. You just keep pounding it, and it gets tender. It's kind of like that. Just keep working with it. Okay, and prepare for the meal.